The information in this podcast is current on the day of recording. It is general advice only and does not take your personal situation into account. It may not be suitable for you. Participants in this podcast may also own the stocks discussed. For a full list of current recommendations and stocks owned by staff, members of Intelligent Investor can visit www.intelligentinvestor.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Stock Trek. My name's John Mills and with me today is James Carlisle. Welcome, James.
Morning.
James, it's probably your favourite time of the year, bank reporting season. How are you finding it?
Oh, well, you know, it's busy. But it's a good thing they report when they do, because otherwise we're already busy enough in August, so they sort of space it out a bit.
I mean, we were discussing before we came on air why they have, well, three of the big four have 30 September year ends.
And my guess is that it's because, you know, all their clients are busy sorting out their books for the end of June, and so they sort of think, well, it's better if we're not having to do that, worry about that at that time of year. But I guess time's moved on. They're all doing their quarterly reports at that point anyway. Yeah. CBA reports in June, but the rest of them and Macquarie are March and September. So here we are. Yeah.
Well, helps keep you busy outside of August. So we've had ANZ report and we've had Macquarie's interim result. What are your first thoughts on those results?
Well, the ANZ. Was very keen to point out that it's facing a lot of headwinds. It said that it thought the recent regulatory changes, you know, increased capital requirements, the bank levy, have contributed to making to reducing its return on equity. Well, sorry, not its return on equity across the sector. It thought by about 3%, which is a huge difference. When, you know, the banks make something around 15%, and that's in the good times at the moment. You know, across the cycle, you could probably lower that by a couple of percent. So to reduce that by 3%, maybe across the cycle, sort of 13-14% down to 10-11%, that's a pretty big difference. So within that, ANZ reported an 11.9% return on equity, which isn't terribly bad. But then again, you know, that's with an impairment charge of only 0.2% of assets, which is pretty much also, you know, of loans, which is pretty much as good as it gets. Although, I mean, all the banks are around that level or a bit lower at the moment.
So I guess overall, obviously provisions remain at cyclical lows. Would that be fair?
And absolutely, all the
banks are continuing to benefit from a pretty good credit environment?
Yeah, that's right. And so we would normally expect loans across the cycle to be perhaps 0.4% for the more retail-focused banks, CBA and Westpac. To up to about 0.5% maybe for NAB, and then 0.6% for ANZ. Those are fairly conservative. That's not been, that includes the early 90s recession. Mm. So you go way back there to get the averages. But you know, I think it's right to be conservative. If you bump up ANZ's impairment charge to the 0.6, then its return on equity comes down from 11.9% to 9%. Mm. So,
which is fairly ordinary.
Pretty ordinary, that's right.
So I guess we've got low provisions, and would I be correct in thinking that costs are being cut or maintained at low growth rates?
Well, actually cut. And it's the first cut, I think, that ANZ has seen this millennium, I think. Since the 90s, it hasn't actually see an absolute fall in costs. So that's great. But the problem with cost cutting is you can't go on cutting costs forever. Well, I mean, you can, but only incrementally. You can't sort of drive long-term compounded growth by cutting costs. For that, you need business growth, and we're not seeing a great deal of that at the moment. And it was a similar, so that was ANZ on Thursday. It was a similar result from Macquarie on Friday. Well, obviously it's a very different beast, but again, it had a big chunk of its profit improvement coming through from lower impairments. In its corporate and asset finance business, it actually even had a write-back on account of reduced collected provisions because it reduced its loan book. And it also had a lower tax rate, which again, it's nice to have. You'd rather pay 26.4% tax than 29% tax. But you can't keep lowering that forever. Again, it can't drive compounded growth long into the future. You can't get it down to 20, 15, 10. And so then the other thing for Macquarie, and the other sort of cyclical factor, is performance fees. So it had a huge jump in performance fees in the half. And the timing of that's slightly peculiar because only 7 weeks before its result, the management came out and said it expected essentially a flat result. And then it came out with beating that by 7%.
I guess it's an example of under-promising and over-delivering. And Marco liked the result, but...
Not as much as you might imagine, yeah. given the extent to which they beat it. Right. So I think that the market's probably getting wise to Macquarie's game of constantly over-delivering, and eventually, I think if it does eventually miss one of its guidance, the market's not going to like it.
Yeah. So over the longer term, I mean, I think you upgraded Macquarie to around just under $60 2 years ago, and it's done very well since then.
That's right. It was a fleeting opportunity. It just dipped below $60, which was our buy price at the time. We had a $100 sell price on it back then, and we don't really see it. It's a curious thing. The market's increased its valuation of Macquarie by 65%, and we haven't actually increased it at all. So we're sticking with that price guide. Which feels slightly strange, but the whole idea is that we're trying to look through the cycle. So at the moment, we're trying to normalize for performance fees. 2 years ago, it was, 2 years ago it was on the way to reporting what was quite a good year at the time then, but people thought that it was about to sort of fall off a cliff. Global conditions were quite difficult, and of course that never happened. But we try to, we try to normalise those things in our valuation.
So I guess it's very close to our sell price. So if members did take advantage of the recommendation back then, and it's close to our maximum recommend weighting, do you suggest they reduce it or?
Yeah, but it depends.
Consider it.
It depends how much you bought at that time. I mean, for our portfolios, equity income and equity growth portfolios, we bought 3%. But that was actually at a time when the whole portfolios were suffering because the whole market was suffering. And so the portfolios have done quite well since then. So the weighting of Macquarie has actually gone from 3% to about 4%, I think. So we're still quite comfortable with that. If you bought more and if you're getting up towards that 7% weighting, we got a maximum 7% weighting on it. We certainly wouldn't suggest having more than that at these prices. And in fact, as we get closer to the sell price, it makes sense to be somewhat below, not right on our maximum weighting, because obviously the value is, we perceive the value to be less now than we would do, at $60.
Yeah, sure. And so I guess we've got NAB next week and then Westpac the following week. What are you expecting for those results? Something similar or
Something
no
similar.
Surprises?
Yeah, I think that's right, something similar. Yeah. Very little growth coming through in terms of... business growth, pretty low loan growth. NAB's been having pretty low provisions throughout, same at Westpac. And I expect that'll continue to be the case. They'll be working hard on the cost cutting. It'll be pretty similar, yeah. I would think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look out for those results in the next week or two. And thank you for watching Stock Trek.